Our subject is consider. How thankful we are, brethren, that our lives have been blessed with the gems of His grace and His truth. You know, our loving Heavenly Father speaks through us through the pages of the divine word. In His word, we have found that we can approach Him and find great comfort in Him. And we know that this is possible because of that dear Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave His life as that ransom for all. And by so doing, He opened the way to the high calling in this present age. Yes, I forgot somebody. The Dawn family. There's 9 of them there working, keeping the Dawn going. And they said their love. I talked with Brother Ken and Sister Carm and Brother John Mercer and Randy and a couple of Polish brother there, sister and her husband. Very good. And they send their love to all of you out here. These things come to me a little bit at a time sometimes. So, but they wish to be remembered to you in their love. Okay. You know, we know that we can approach our Heavenly Father and find great comfort in Him. And we know that this is possible because of His dear Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave His life as that ransom for all. And by so doing, He opened a way to the high calling in this present age. Also, there will be restitution for all the poor, groaning human family when the time comes for that glorious earthly kingdom to be set up on earth. Now, this glorious kingdom came to me early in life. I was born on September the 5th, 1925. September the 6th, I was in the meeting. September 7th, I was in the meeting. September 8th, September 9th, I was at the meeting. That's how strong my mother was. We went, and so I was introduced to the truth real early. And I've always appreciated it throughout my life. But I had a mentor at that particular time that I think very few people ever had a mentor like that. He was my dad's, he was my first cousin. But he was a young man, he drove a car and he took us to the meeting. But he liked me so terribly much, and he loved my mother so terribly much, that he'd come to our house and he'd pick me up and hold me over the stove. He had a big stove, you know, and I'm screaming like crazy, and I still hear myself screaming. There was no danger that I would get burned, but I was just a baby. But he did the wrong thing. He decided to get married. Well, to get married, he had to get a job. So he got a job. Him and his father went into the coal mine, which was a mistake, because his father knew nothing about a mine. And the ignorance of the father in relationship to them going to the coal mine, he... First day in the mine, he got killed. That was in 1929. He got killed. And I thought, well, that'll teach him to crucify me. No, I didn't do that. And I never held it against him. But I'm just relating a little bit to you. Okay. You know, our Lord Christ Jesus gave his life as that ransom for all. And by so doing, he opened a way to the high calling in this present age. Also, there will be restitution for all the poor, groaning human family when the time comes for that glorious earthly kingdom to be set up on earth. As we begin to study this gracious word, we found that the scriptures abound with instructions, with wisdom, and blessed experiences in the lives of God's servants and people. Many of these scriptures texts begin with the word, consider. They will be the focus of our study in God's word today. That is, we're going to consider, first of all, what does the word consider mean? It comes from a Greek word, chaplets, which bears this meaning, to desire, to be pleased with, acceptable, to compare with, and to understand. Thus we see, brother, that the term consider carries an important meaning. While heathen thoughts and doctrines of Christian allow very little room for one to think and to exercise his mind, this is not the case with the precious word of God. Many times we hear of a person who has read the Bible from cover to cover, not just one time, but many times. While this may seem to be a great experience, it is not the way the Heavenly Father desires for his word to be read and considered. In 2 Timothy 2 chapter verse 7 we read, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider, note carefully, and think. Don't just read. I know I've done it myself. I begin to read, and I stop. Well, I'm reading, but I'm not getting anything out of it. Why not? Because I'm not considering it. I'm not really thinking of what it's saying. I'm just reading it. And that's what we got to be careful of. When we read, think. We are aware of our Heavenly Father's dislike the ways of the nation of Israel and the desire to know him and his ways. In Isaiah, the first chapter, verse 3, we read, an ox knows his master, and donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Now, if one is familiar with animals, he knows that the animal will respond to its master. And the animal knows its resting place. It knows when and where it will be fed. There's an exception to that rule. And I happen to be a part of that exception. Because we had a cow when I was a little boy. There was no dumber cow on the whole earth than that one. When I had to go to the pasture field, 40-acre pasture field, to get our cow, she was up on the highest hill. And I would see her, and I would call her, and just stand up there, moo, 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 and never move. She'd been waiting for me to walk barefooted through the briars and everything to go up there. I had to go all the way up there to get her. She would not move. So that was, to me, was the dumbest cow that ever lived. But anyway, it's just that... The part that bothered me the most was the fact that she needed to be milked in the evening. And so all the other cows, when their owners would come to the gate, they'd just call them and they'd come. I had to go all the way up that hill and get her. And she was full of milk. You thought you had enough brains to want to go and get milk. The illustration is, sometimes we as human beings act like dumb animals. But we have a brain to consider and to think, to do those things which are necessary to our existence. Generally speaking, an animal will respond to its owner. But Israel, God's chosen people, did not recognize him nor honor him in spite of all the marvelous things he had done for them. They failed to heed, they failed to consider, they failed to appreciate all that God had did for them. And they did not respect those holy prophets, those servants that God provided for their uplifting and blessing. Yes, they knew of God, but they did not truly understand and appreciate his benefits toward them. How then, dear brethren, can each of us come to know and truly appreciate God? Though the scriptures do not give a detailed description of what the Creator looks like, we know that he is a supreme being, a glorious immortal being. And we have found that his ways are always righteous and true, his character so grand and glorious. And as children of God, we have been so privileged to have his plan of the ages revealed to us. We know his character has unchanging and beautiful attributes. He is all love, he is all wisdom, he is all power, powerful and justice. And as a natural man is known by the things he says and he does, the way he lives, so we have come to see and know the gracious works and ways of our loving God. Though the true child of God may not know all the small details of his plan and the exact time that its features will be accomplished, each has a keen and joyous appreciation of the Heavenly Father and his ways. Much appreciation takes place when we take notice of the natural things that surround us. In Psalms, the 8th chapter, verses 3 and 4, Psalms 8, verse 3 and 4, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and a son of man that thou visitest him? And though David lived many years before Jesus was born, and before the narrow way was opened, and the Holy Spirit was given to the followers of Jesus, David had a mind which appreciated the goodness of God. Yes, he realized how little indeed, how unimportant man's mind when compared to the glory and majesty of the heavens which God had prepared. Now you and I know that man has marveled at the glory of the heavens. Though he has sent man to outer space, these men of intellect still cannot explain how the things they have seen come into being. As man continues to explore the universe, human mind cannot understand and deal with the findings that they have observed. A few years ago, the Natural Geographic magazine carried a very lengthy article entitled "The Incredible Universe." At that time, scientists had discovered what they call quasars. These are small celestial objects that can emit energy at an unheard of rate of speed. And they estimated at that time that these objects could produce more energy than 100 large galaxies totally 100 billion stars. The scientists believed that one quasar could throw out enough energy to supply all the Earth's electrical needs for billions of years. Now, I don't know if the scientists have continued to pursue these thoughts, But if they did, we should have no energy crisis. Now we know our loving Father will let man try to solve the problems that face man. But he will not find a solution for all that plagues the human family. All man's problems will be solved in that glorious kingdom that comes to reality in God's due time. And as we have studied the Word of God, each of us has come to truly appreciate His love and His wisdom. We call to mind that Jesus stated, as recorded in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 28th verse. Now I'm sure you've heard this many times as I have. Consider the lilies of the field. Jesus stated, they do not spin, nor do they toil. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Truly these flowers are so pleasant to the eye, they are so lovely. And in Luke 12, chapter 24th verse, Jesus stated, consider the ravens. They don't sow, nor do they reap, yet God takes abundant care of them. They have food to sustain life. Why does the Lord call our attention to these simple things of nature? Our Lord and our Father wants each of us to understand certain lessons that take place in all the affairs of our lives on earth. One could never doubt that the Heavenly Father can miraculously provide for all the necessities of life